If you are thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, maybe it's audio only, or with video, please keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions that I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really, really opened up my possibilities of who I could have on a guest. I wasn't limited to the people who I could get in person anymore. I have recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere from just a handful of miles away from where I am in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. So the video and the audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I really, really love that Zencastr records the audio and the video to the person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered when you get things like internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and then processes the files so you can directly download them right from the platform. The files are even accessible if something goes wrong. And this next part, I'm going to basically read verbatim because I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need lots of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcast platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. So, go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, all one word, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is my show, and we're just talking about some words in just the slowest way possible. The first word in this episode, I'm recording this on March 26th, 7:09 a.m. The first word is event, E-V-E-N-T, noun from 1549, number one, A, is archaic, and the synonym is outcome. What happened when you did the thing? It was an event. And we don't use it this way anymore. Number 1B is not archaic. This is the final outcome or determination of a legal action. So I guess we still sort of use it in this way, this outcome way, but in the legal world. What was the thing that resulted from the legal action? It's an event. 1C. A postulated outcome, condition, or eventuality, as in the event that I am not there, call the house. If I'm not where I said I'm going to be, then I'm probably at the house, and you can call that number, and I'll be there. I'll be there at the house if I'm not at the other place in that event. So it's like it's a postulate. It's like it's questioned. It's thought of. It's yeah. Postulated outcome, condition, or eventuality. In this possible situation, that's the event. 2A, something that happens, the synonym is occurrence. Just anything that occurs is an occurrence. It's also called an event. Right now, this event is a podcast recording, and for you, it is a podcast listening or watching. 2B, a noteworthy happening, a big important event, a party. That's it. That's the only noteworthy thing. So many noteworthy things. That's an event when you get your college acceptance letter or email. That's an event. 2C, a social occasion or activity. You got to be social during this event. Going out to the bars, the clubs, the movies, gaming. Everything's an event. Literally every possible moment is an event. Some are big, some are small. They're all important. 2D, an adverse or damaging medical occurrence, as in a heart attack or other cardiac event. I don't know why they use this word in that way. For some reason, it's just like, oh, it's an event, it's an occasion, it's a big occurrence. 3, any of the contests in a program of sports. This is a funny one to me, just the way it's worded. Oh, I love coming across these silly ones. It's not silly, it's accurate, it's just funny to me the way that the words are chosen and worded. Any of the contests in a program of sports. Oh, look at that program of, because it's so proper. We don't talk so proper. Oh, that program of sports has all these contests, and they are such great events. Okay, 4. The fundamental entity of observed physical reality represented by a point designated by 3 coordinates of place and 1 of time in the space-time continuum postulated by the theory of relativity. Whoa, I don't think any of us were ready for that one. Whew. Okay, let's see if we can break this down a little bit. The fundamental entity of observed physical reality. There's a physical reality that you're observing, represented by a point designated by 3 coordinates of place. So that would be the X, Y, Z, 3 dimensions of physical place. You are in this coordinate system, and I don't even know what coordinate system we use for out there, but, you know, it's 42 meters in that direction and another 17 inches in that direction and 100 miles in that direction. So place, 3 coordinates of place and 1 in time. You can't be at a place unless you're at a time. Can you meet me there at that physical location, but in the year 2 BC? So that is a physical place and a time in the space-time... Why can't I say that? Space-time continuum. It's not just space and it's not just time. It's one whole thing called space-time, the 4 dimensions. Continuum postulated by the theory of relativity. The theory of relativity is the thing that is like, all this stuff, this space-time stuff, it's all connected with the gravity and the weak nuclear force and the strong nuclear force and the electromagnetism. And so I guess just that one moment in that physical place and that time, that is the event, an event. That event happened when that comet flew past the buildings. Okay, 5, a subset of the possible outcomes of an experiment. a subset. So there's a whole bunch of possible outcomes. This experiment that you're doing with your beakers and your chemicals. So there's all these possible outcomes, but just a portion of those would be an event, I guess. Science. A synonym for everything is the word occurrence. That's it. It's just an occurrence. It's an event. Eventless is an adjective. At all events, this is a phrase, and it means in any case. I don't know if I've heard this one. At all events, in any case. It makes sense. Cases are events. All of them, any of them. At all events. Okay, we have another one. In any event. That also means in any case. Any possible situation. In any event. I'm telling you about a story and then I get off track. Well, in any event. In any case. Doesn't matter. Let's get back on track. And then the last one is chiefly British. It's in the event. In the event. And it means, as it turns out. As it turns out, they went to the movies. In the event, yeah, I guess that's, I'm not used to that, because I'm not British. Okay, let's see. Etymology, anything interesting to say? This is from the Latin verb evenire, which means to happen. Which is the E prefix plus venire, which means to come. And there's more with the word come. Like, come over here, and it's going to happen when you come over here, and that's an event. Okay, let's move on. Let's see, what is my sound effect going to be? Woo, woo, woo. The next word is eventful. Adjective from 1600. One, full of or rich in events. How can you be rich in events? Oh, I have so many events. You can't even touch me because I'm so rich in events. I got events coming out all the places. I can't stop going to events. I can't stop creating events. Eventful. Number two, the synonym is momentous. That is a very momentous, eventful occasion. Eventfully is an adverb. And eventfulness is a noun. Eventful. It's an adjective. So it's like, it's just a big, oh, that's an eventful occasion. I said that already. Woo, 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 woo. Next is event horizon. Two words, noun from 1969. The surface of a black hole. But also, the boundary of a black hole beyond which nothing can escape from within it. This is the edge. This is once you have arrived at your place and time for the event, at the event horizon, once you get there and you go inside, it's going to pull you in and you are going to go through spaghettification and you will be never coming out of this black hole. There's that movie, Event Horizon, which I never saw. It's supposed to be really, really scary, but I didn't see it. I would like to see it sometime. The surface of a black hole. I wonder if black hole scientists have a comment on that. The surface of a black hole. Well, that might be true. I don't know. They did the black hole in Interstellar, and they wrote some scientific papers based on all the computer modeling that they did. And that was a big sort of ball-shaped thing. I guess that... And I think what you see is the event horizon. The boundary of a black hole. So depending on the mass of the black hole, how heavy it is, how much stuff has gone into it, it has this weight. I think the black hole itself is a point, but it has weight. And the heavier it is, the more stuff that has gone in there, then the event horizon. So it's got gravity. The heavier something is, the more gravity it has. And so if it has a whole lot of gravity, that event horizon, that's the area that it's going to pull you in. The gravity is going to pull you in once you get to that limit, that area. And so if it has smaller mass, the event horizon is going to be closer to the black hole, a smaller area. And if it's got a bigger mass, it's going to be a big event horizon, a bigger, further out. The further out you are, it's going to pull you in. I don't know if I described that very well, but I hope I got close enough. Let's see. There was a recent episode about ologies, a recent episode on ologies about black holes. So I'll put a link in the show notes for that. You can go learn more about black holes and event horizons and being spaghetti and all that fun stuff. Okay. Woo, 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 woo. Next is eventide. Yes, eventide. One word, noun from before the 12th century. The time of evening. And the synonym is just evening. The time of evening. Why wouldn't it be even time? Why is it tide? Doesn't say why it's tide and not time. But it's the time of evening. It's evening time. It's evening. This is old. I don't think. Maybe there's some old people saying eventide. Woo, 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 woo. Eventual. Eventual, eventual, eventual. Adjective from 1683. Number one is archaic, and the synonyms are contingent and conditional. Contingent and conditional. Yeah, archaic. So those words are like, on these conditions, there's a specific situation where this thing can happen. It's contingent. This thing can't happen because it's contingent on this other thing happening. So that would be eventual in archaic times. Number two for eventual is taking place at an unspecified later time, also ultimately resulting, as in, they counted on our eventual success. Eventually, later, this thing is going to happen. Unspecified later time. Not now, not before, later, in the future, this thing will happen. We don't know when, but this thing will happen. It will take place then. Ultimately resulting. It will result, ultimately. It will happen later. Eventual. Yeah. Well, okay. Let's see. No etymology. We got to move on to woo, 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 woo. Eventuality. This is a noun from 1759. A possible event or outcome, and the synonym is possibility. So, similar to eventual, this is at a later date. In the future, this thing might happen, and that thing that might happen is an eventuality. We are doing the science experiment. When the science experiment is done, there will be, you can come up beforehand with some eventualities. What are some possible outcomes? Whoa, 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 whoa. Eventually. Adverb from circa 1680. I guess I would have thought that they could have put this word as one of the other forms of eventual, but maybe it doesn't work that way. Eventually, it means at an unspecified later time, or also in the end. In the end, eventually, at the end of the thing, that's, you're doing that in that way. It's not how you explain things. At an unspecified later time. Eventually, I will finish this podcast. At some point in the future, either I finish reading the book, or I quit, or I die, or something else stops me. Those are probably the three main options. Those are the three eventualities of me finishing this podcast. Eventually. Whoa, 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 whoa. Eventuate. Eventuate. This is an intransitive verb from 1789. To come out finally, the synonyms are result and come about. To come out finally, to eventuate. So how do you use this one in context? So yeah, it's the result. This is it. But it's an intransitive verb. So you are eventuating. You are, I don't know how to use this in context, to come out finally. The baby eventuated from their mother. They came about. They are the result. I don't know. Woo, 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 woo. Next is ever, E-V-E-R, adverb from before the 12th century. Number one, the synonym is always. This is how I think of this word. If I see this in a poem or something, it means always, just ever. That's how I think about this word. As in the example, ever striving to improve. That's me. I'm ever striving to improve because I know that I am not the pinnacle of anything. I can always be better in my behavior, in what I eat, how I exercise, any possible thing. I can always be better. And I think we all can always be. None of us are perfect. None of us are great at everything. We can always be better. Be best. Okay, I'm ever striving to improve. Also, there's another example, the ever-increasing population. That means the population is always increasing. Now, that's a hard statement. I mean, we can guess pretty well that, yes, the population will always, the human population is always going up, will always go up. But eventually, I used one of our words in this description, maybe the population will go down. Isn't that possible? Way, way, way in the future at some unspecified time? It could go down. Okay, 2A. At any time. As in, more than ever before. More than all the other times before now. This thing was going great. More than ever before. This podcast is ever... I don't know. Okay, let's move on to 2B. In any way. As in, how can I ever thank you? If you join the Patreon for $1 a month, I will say, how can I ever thank you? In what way is it possible for me to thank you? Is it just me saying thank you? Oh, that's good. I mean, it's only $1 a month. I think that deserves at least a thank you, maybe a good handshake, or just a fist bump. After the pandemic, I told myself I was never shaking people's hands again, and that didn't happen. You know, if people come at you with a hand to shake, I guess I just felt bad not shaking it. I didn't want to be that guy who was like, nope, I'm going to fist bump, even though I wanted to in my head. I think fist bumps are a better way to go. I do. Let's see if we can get that going. Okay, number three, no definition. This is used as an intensive, as in, looks ever so angry. Always looking ever so angry. That angry character in Inside Out, he's ever so angry. I think I need to use this one. How can we use this more often? Ever so angry. Ooh. There's another example. Am I ever happy to see you? Always. I am always happy to see you. Oh, I'm so ever happy to see you. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to use this, but I want to bring this back. You just throw ever in whatever things you say. It'll work. There's a phrase, ever and anon. That's the phrase, and it means from time to time. Ever and anon. Oh, that sounds so fancy. This is not at all how I talk. Well, anon means soon, and ever means always. So always and soon. Soon coming up, but also all the time. From time to time. The synonym is occasionally. From time to time. Sometimes I like to do this. Sometimes soon, sometimes always, sometimes ever. That's what's going on. Ever and anon. From time to time. Okay, I will try and remember this one. Occasionally, I have a coffee. No, that's not what I'm trying to remember. What I'm trying to remember is ever and anon. Do you drink coffee? Ever and anon. Oh, I would get the weirdest looks if I said that to somebody, especially somebody I know. They would be like, that is not at all how you talk. Ever and anon, let's have a sip. Okay. Let's see. There isn't much in the term, in the ways of the etymology. So we're going to move on to ever blooming. One word, adjective from 1838. Blooming more or less continuously throughout the growing season. Ever blooming. Just always, always blooming. Off and on, occasionally, but throughout the whole blooming season. It's just bloom and close. Bloom and close. That's what their dance teachers say. Their whatever teachers, I don't know. Their PE teachers, some sort of practice teachers, the plants. Bloom and close. Bloom and close. Bloom and close. Bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo. Ever during. One word. Adjective from the 15th century. This is archaic. Wow, shocking. Really? I would have thought ever blooming might also be archaic. Nope. But ever during is archaic, and the synonym is everlasting, which is going to be at the end of this episode. Everlasting, ever during. I think of that as just being just always. Okay. Whoa, 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 whoa. Everglade, one word, noun from 1823. A swampy grassland, especially in southern Florida, usually containing sawgrass and at least seasonally covered by slowly moving water. And this is usually used in plural, the Everglades. And this is from, literally, the Everglades, Florida, which is either just a region or a town. So I don't really understand why we are separating. So I guess what this, the reason there's an entry here that's separate from the actual place called the Everglades in Florida is if there are similar places like the Everglades, then they are now also called the Everglades. They are not technically the Everglades in Florida, although those are also called the Everglades, but I guess it's now a name for places that are similar, that are swampy and swampy grasslands. Why are the Everglades called the Everglades, though? That's what I want to know. Are they everglading? What's the etymology of that? Etymology. Like, what's glading? When the early explorers first viewed the Everglades long ago, they saw large fields of glass. Ever, from the word forever, and glades, which is an old English word that means a grassy open place. That's it. Okay, so they were like, oh, it's grassy forever, all the way to the horizon. That's all I can see. It's forever in my view. The Everglades. Okay, that's it. That was easy. Okay. Boop, 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 boop. Bo, 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 bo. The next word is evergreen. First form, adjective from 1574. Number one, having foliage that remains green and functional through more than one growing season. And it says compare to the number one definition for the word deciduous. So there's deciduous trees and coniferous trees, and I believe that the evergreens are coniferous, I believe, because deciduous would be, if I am remembering correctly from a year or so ago when I read this word in the dictionary and also learned it in first grade, deciduous, I think, would be having foliage that remains green and functional through only one growing season. So, you know, I think of like oak tree, maple tree, elm tree, all of those would be, I think, deciduous, where they got leaves throughout, you know, the spring and the summer, and then they lose them in the fall, and then the next spring they regrow their leaves. But evergreen, coniferous trees, pine trees, all those sorts of things. They've got their pines for more than one growing season. Maybe for two, maybe for 20. I don't know. But they are evergreen, always green. Even into winter, they're evergreen. Number two is retaining freshness or interest. And the synonym is perennial. Always changing, keeping, always fresh. Retaining freshness or interest. That's what I got to do with this. I got to keep it fresh, keep it interested. No etymology on this one. The second form of evergreen is a noun from 1644. Number one, an evergreen plant. Also the synonym, conifer. There we go, conifer. I think that should be a name. If you have a baby, you should name it conifer. Okay, number two, this is plural. Twigs and branches of evergreen plants used for decoration. We gotta put up the evergreens. Come on, let's go put up the evergreens to make our place all festive for the Christmas season. Twigs and branches of evergreen plants used for decoration. Number three, something that retains its freshness, interest, or popularity. So you hear this sometimes when you're, maybe it's a podcast, maybe it's a show of some kind. You gotta be evergreen. You gotta be talking about new things, fresh things, not old stuff. You know, so sometimes you'll hear this. Sometimes I will hear this when people are talking about what they do, what they want their show to be evergreen. Always fresh, always new. This show is not evergreen. Every once in a while, I will talk about something going on in the world that's fresh and new, but it's fresh and new for me, and it might be like a month old for you. Like, I am recording this on March 26th, and this episode airs on April 26th. So if I tell you about what's going on in the world, I heard podcast this morning about how Apple is, they're in legal situations about possibly having a monopoly and making it charging more money than people think that they should. And what else did I hear about this morning? I'm trying to remember. There was the people who went into a club in Russia and killed a bunch of people. And so that's an evergreen thing. But for you, that's old news. It's old. You don't want to hear about that. Okay. I spoke way too much about that. Let's move on to evergreen oak. Noun from 1673. Any of various oaks, as a live oak, a holm oak, or a tan oak, with foliage that persists for 2 years so that the plant is more or less continuously green. Evergreen oak. Oh, this is interesting. This is not the time. I would not have thought about this. There are oaks that can do this, that will have their leaves for 2 years? Specific ones. Live oak, holm oak, tan oak. Oh, I never knew about this. This is fascinating. Okay, the last word. It's the first form of everlasting. The second form is in tomorrow's episode. Everlasting, everlasting. Adjective from the 13th century. One, lasting or enduring through all time. And the synonym is eternal. I think that Marvel movie should have been called The Everlastings. That would have made sense. Just literally around all the time, through from the beginning of the universe to the end of the universe. There is nothing. So you could say that there's nothing that's everlasting because everything ends, but also everything is everlasting. Like all of our particles, all of our atoms, everything that we're made up of, that's everlasting. That will never go away. They will still exist in some form. The electrons, protons, neutrons, all those things, they might be combined or broken up into different forms, But the stuff that we are literally made up of is everlasting. Our soul, our spirit, what is that? We don't even know if that exists. But if it does, that's probably everlasting too. 2A1, continuing for a long time or indefinitely. Now, this is forever or maybe just a long time. That's a better thing, because things don't usually last indefinitely. Everlasting for a really, really, really long time. 2A2, having or being flowers or foliage that retain form or color for a long time when dried. Some specific flowers or foliage, I guess, when you dry them and you put them in your book, I could put a flower in this big fat book and smack them down so they get flat and dried, and then I look at them 100 years from now, they might still have their color, so they would be everlasting. 2B, tediously persistent, as in the everlasting sympathy seeker who demands attention, and that is a quote from H.A. Overstreet. Ha! Overstreet. The everlasting sympathy seeker who demands attention. Oh, we all know people like this who are constantly needing attention. I'm looking at you, children. And they want sympathy and all the time, tediously persistent. I am an everlasting podcaster because I am tediously persistent, making episodes 5 times a week into your faces. Number 3, wearing indefinitely, as in everlasting twill pants. I don't understand what that means. Wearing indefinitely, so are these like twill pants that you're wearing every day? Well, I guess these pants, I have 2 pairs of these pants and I wear them all the time. So these would be everlasting cargo pants because I'm so cool. I will eventually be cool when I stop wearing these pants. I'll just take off my pants. Wearing indefinitely, or do they get worn? I don't understand this one. Everlastingly is an adverb, and everlastingness is a noun. And we'll talk more about everlasting things in the next episode. Of course, I can't not think about everlasting gobstoppers. We don't have them in the real world, but in the Willy Wonka world, everlasting gobstoppers never get smaller. But in the real world, gobstoppers, they're not everlasting. They last for a long time, but they will go away eventually. You will lick all of the atoms off of them. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. We had event. Ooh, I talked a lot. Event, eventful, event horizon, event... Eventide, there we go, eventual, eventuality, eventually, eventuate, ever, ever blooming, ever during, ever glade, evergreen, evergreen, evergreen oak, everlasting. Oh, I mean, there's some good words in here. Maybe I'll just pick event horizon as the word of the episode, and I'm going to sing a song that goes like this. Stay away from the event horizon. It's gonna eat you up into the black hole. The event horizon. Okay. Let's now tell you about a movie that I watched. We've been watching a lot more TV shows, and so we haven't been watching as many movies, so I'm getting caught up pretty quickly. But this weekend, we watched 3 movies. The first of which was the new Ghostbusters movie, Frozen Empire. And, you know, it's just, they're just fun. They're not like the highbrow necessarily. They're just silly and fun, and they're dealing with ghosts, and they're, you know, the end of the world, and but they're funny, and, you know, I can't complain about it. You know, it's not like they're perfect, but like they're just fun. They're you're busting ghosts. Come on, busting makes me feel good. I guess my one thought or complaint, I don't know. I feel like I feel like Paul Rudd's character had more importance, more to do, more to say than, I think her name is Carrie Coon, more than her. And she's the mother. Now, she had a big role, don't get me wrong, but I felt like there was, they could have equaled them out, or maybe she could have had more. I don't know. I think a lot about, I notice a lot about male and female roles, and we're still not equal necessarily. I think, but especially when I watch old stuff. Oh my God, we're watching a show from 35 years ago, and it has not aged great in that way. Anyway, Ghostbusters. I know maybe not everybody loves it, but you know, I can't. It's fun, and they had 12 people. They grew the there was 12 Ghostbusters. All fighting together. I think I counted 12. That's pretty fun. Are they going to go on from here? What's going to happen? Are we going to get a fifth one? Let's find out. I don't care. Let's do it. I will watch it. I will enjoy it. All right. This is the end of the episode. Thank you very much for watching and listening. Until next time, this is Spencer Dispensing Information.